John chapter 3, and we're going to begin with the sixth verse as we continue to study this section concerning you must be born again. A lot of times, again, this is preached maybe in one message and not often enough, and I believe this is the fourth week that we have been in this area of Scripture, and we're going to continue to enjoy it. And so John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whether it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study today. Father, thank you that we can come and sing those beautiful hymns, have a wonderful time in the Sunday school class as we come and study your precious word. And Father, the specials that have been played, the specials that the children have just finished, we thank and praise you for those. Please continue, dear Lord, to bring the talent that you have given us, bring it out that we may bring honor and glory to you. And dear Father, the Scripture so clear that we're to make a joyful noise, and we should in enjoy each and every day and have joy in our hearts and peace in our hearts. That can all come only when we know you as our personal Savior and begin that wonderful walk in serving you and praising you. Now, please, dear Lord, touch every heart today. Those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, please, just I ask today that the word be so clear that they come to know you today and not tarry, but accept you as their Savior. And Father, for those that are here that do know you as their Savior, that today will be a growing time, a time of I can't wait to take the word of God out and sow the seed. And please, speak to all of our hearts today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at these scripture verses concerning verse 3, you must be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God if you have not been born again. You must be born of water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's very clear. It's very simple. The Lord Jesus explained it to Nicodemus as he come by night to talk to him. And yet Nicodemus comes up with this answer in verse 9, how can these things be? How can these things be? That's the same question that all that are not saved today, that's the same question they ask. How can it be? In other words, I don't understand. I don't understand. Well, my friend, we need to be saved by believing, saved by faith. So please, look to the Lord Jesus and call on him today. That was the desire of our Lord when he was talking to Nicodemus. He tried so simply to explain. And some of this is review from last week because it's worthy of review. And we need to understand that when we're looking at the sixth verse there, and the sixth verse says, born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do we understand that we must be born of the Spirit? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, must touch your heart, change your heart, and come in and live within your heart. Born of the Spirit. And we must be born of the Spirit. The offspring of the Holy Spirit is spiritual. And we're dealing with things that are eternal. It is always spiritual. When we're dealing with things that are temporary, it is always earthy or earthly. It's of the flesh. So anything that is of the flesh, of the things that we work so hard to acquire, things we work so hard to do, it's all temporary if it's to do with this earth and with this life. Now, when we set out to serve our Lord and do things that are spiritual, that is eternal. Eternal. Many folks think of an inheritance. They're looking for their inheritance that their folks will give them. That way you can enjoy some things, waiting for that inheritance. We need to recognize that our Lord gave us the greatest inheritance that could ever be gained, and that is eternal life. But that eternal life begins today. It doesn't start the day that you die. It is now. So enjoy this wonderful time, looking heavenward to serve and praise our Lord. The offspring of the Holy Spirit is spiritual. The offspring of the flesh is carnal and fleshly. We must have the new birth. Nicodemus couldn't understand in verse 7. The word is marvel there. He just could not understand. He wondered. He wanted to understand. But you see, when somebody is so religious and so smart, they're the folks that very seldom ever get saved because their mind is so set upon their religion instead of surrendering unto the Lord and asking the Lord Jesus to come into their heart. Nicodemus was in such a place. He was there. He just couldn't understand. He was a scholar of the Old Testament. He just couldn't understand. Now, when you have the perfect teacher, who was teaching the Lord Jesus? Have the Sunday school class. You can leave the Sunday school class and he says, you know, I just didn't understand what the teacher was saying. Well, that could be the teacher's problem. Maybe the teacher didn't make it clear. Not in this case. In this case, they had the perfect teacher. Nicodemus was standing before the Son of God. And yet, what did he say? I don't understand. I can't figure it out. We're going to find folks just like that today that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They just can't figure it out. Many people today think that to live good, to live right, is their ticket to heaven. It's not. You can live the best life you could live. Nicodemus could continue to live this life above reproach and yet still go to hell. Because people do not go to hell because they are bad or good. They go to hell because they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard for us to understand. It's a miracle sent from God. You're praying for a miracle. You're praying for God to bless you in some manner or another. And that's wonderful because He is a God of miracles and a God of blessings. But He has given you, if you know Jesus as your Savior, the greatest miracle that could ever be performed. And that is He has taken something old and made something new. You're born again. Wonderful. Jesus tries to explain it to Nicodemus. Do you know when the wind blows? Down in verse 8. You hear it? You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes to. You don't know anything about it. And yet you say, the wind's blowing. Oh, the wind's blowing today. Isn't that a beautiful south or east wind? Oh, it's blowing out of the west. Storm's coming. The wind. Please, Jesus tried to explain that to Nicodemus. I hope that you understand as well. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, when the word is sown, the Spirit convicts, the Spirit convinces, the Spirit draws you into God. What that is exactly like the wind. The day you're born again, you know the effect. You understand the effect that the Holy Spirit has on you. Can't see it, can't understand it, but you know the effect. And so do we with the wind. We looked at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, concerning the dry bones and how that God breathed in life and the muscles started back and the bones started coming together and the muscles started growing back on the bones and the flesh on top of that. And then it says, well, there's a body there now instead of just dry bones, but there's no life. And then the wind came through again and breathed life into them. And so you see, many times the wind is used as an example of the power of the Holy Spirit as it comes, as it did at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 2. On the day of Pentecost, a great and mighty wind, a rushing wind came. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit. We must be born again in order to produce the fruits that God has desired that we produce. Nicodemus had this question in verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can these things be? What's the matter with Nicodemus? What's the matter? The greatest teacher is teaching in such clarity and simplicity, and yet he asks such a question. Standing in the very presence of the Lord Jesus. Have you ever talked to folks that say, well, if Jesus was here, then I would believe. Jesus was there, and Nicodemus didn't believe. Thank God he did. We know at some point in time, he did trust in the Lord Jesus and became a child of God. But at this time, he still was questioning it. You know, Jesus says, flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. Please, please understand. But you see, even talking about the water is used in a ceremonial cleaning, cleansing, and washing. He understands that the word, the water actually means the word. He understood that. So you see, when Jesus was telling him that, it wasn't something foreign to him. He knew he was talking about the Word of God. And to talk about the Spirit of God, he still questions how. It's proof that no matter how much learning, if you do not surrender to the Spirit of God, you will stay ignorant. You will stay in darkness if you do not trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You talk to folks and it just looks like you're talking to a wall when you're talking to them. They're not hearing you. They're not paying attention. And it means so much to you because it means life and you want them to be saved, but they don't care. They're in darkness. You're light. They're darkness. You're the salt. You know, when you put a little salt in an open wound, boy, doesn't that feel good? Burns, doesn't it? Many times when you give out the Word of God to a lost person, it affects them that way. That salt, it burns. They don't like it. They turn away. They don't want to have any part of it. But we still need to continue and tell them Jesus saves. Jesus had a question for Nicodemus. He said, aren't you a master of Israel? And the Greek actually says that you are the greatest teacher in Israel. So this Nicodemus wasn't just someone that was served in the temple in some manner or another. He was the greatest teacher. Did you ever think about that Nicodemus and Paul probably knew each other? They were both members of the Sanhedrin. They probably worked together at some point in time. Paul is struck down by a great light on the road to Damascus, and Nicodemus requests a personal visit with the Lord Jesus. How can anybody miss Jesus? How can anybody reject the Lord Jesus Christ? The offer is free. The benefits are the greatest beyond anything this world can offer. And yet, why would folks reject the Lord Jesus Christ? Their God's the devil. Their God's the devil. That's why. That's how. We can't imagine the darkness that they're in when we have the light. So it just doesn't make any sense to us. Nicodemus had the Old Testament and knew the Old Testament. He knew it well, quote it. And yet he missed, in all of his studies, he missed the central point. He missed the main subject in all of the Old Testament. And that's a person named Jesus. When you study the Old Testament, you study the Old Testament just like you study the New Testament. I have a what they call a red-lettered Bible. That's about all you can buy anymore. My first several Bibles that I have worn out was not red-lettered, and I preferred that, because it's all the Word of God. You know, man has come in here, well, this is what Jesus said. Well, I'll tell you what, back here, this is what Jesus said. It's no different. When you look to Adam and Eve, and you see the coats of skin that God put upon them, took the fig leaves away, and they accepted those coats, what a picture of the Lord Jesus as he was coming to the cross of Calvary some 4,000 years later. What a picture we have of Abraham when he takes Isaac up to offer him upon the altar. And they travel the 3 days and they get there, and only Abraham and Isaac go up on the mount. What a picture. Isaac asks, you know, we have the fire, we have the wood, we have everything, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God himself will provide the offering of the sacrifice, being him. What a picture. What a picture. That mount they went up on was not just any mount. That mount was Mount Calvary. I think where Abraham built that altar is exactly where the cross of the Lord Jesus fell. We know it was in that region. How could a 133-year-old man put a 33-year-old man on the altar and bind him and raise a knife against him unless the son surrendered to the will of his father? Most folks think that Isaac was very young, child. We know he was in his 30s. How old was Jesus when he went to the cross? 33. Where was he crucified? Mount Calvary. Where was this? Mount Calvary. How many days did Abraham believe that his son was dead? There was 3 days' journey to that place. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. Beautiful. Beautiful examples, pictures that were so clearly painted for Nicodemus to see. The coats of skin, the bloody skins that was put upon Adam and Eve. The picture of Abraham and Isaac. Jonah. Beautiful. You want to know why that Jonah, that the devil hates the book of Jonah so much and makes it fun of it, says it's just a fish story? Just a fish story? We're on Keokuk right now in 1310 with the study of Jonah. And I believe it's out of that 4 chapters, a page and a half, is a 16-week study. Study the book of Jonah. Powerful book. Powerful book of the saving power of the Lord Jesus. And he says, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall I be. We have so many pictures throughout the Scripture of the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And yet Nicodemus studied it like a textbook. And he missed the person, Jesus. And today most religions do too. They come, they work, they serve. But they miss the personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find Nicodemus is still missing that point. He's missing that point. He said, you're a master. You can quote my word. And yet you missed the most important. You missed me. You missed me. And today, any religion that tacks any kind of works to it missed the Lord Jesus. Whether it's to keep your salvation or to be saved, you add any kind of works, you have taken away that free gift. You've ignored, you've rejected the Son of God. You need to trust in Jesus and trust in Jesus alone. Do you see when he tells again, verily, verily, you know, we had verily, verily in verse 3, verily, verily in verse 5. It means listen, listen so carefully because I have something so important to say. He says the same thing down here in verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and ye receive not our witness. Now, when we are in Sunday school, we didn't do it so much today. Last week we sure did. And I says, you know, what questions do you have of these verses of Scripture? And then you see, you look at those. You come up and you give me questions. And then we, wonderful. So if we have the answer, that's great. If we need a cross-reference, we get the concordance out. We got the Bible dictionary. We have all the tools to look these things up if we have questions. We're here to learn the Word of God. What would be a question that you would have in looking at that verse 11? Would the question be witness? What witness are you talking about? To testify that we have seen, would that be your question? My question is we. We. Why did Jesus say we testify? You see, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came here on earth, he is still very much God. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our. Look at that. That's not singular. He didn't say my. He said our witness. So right there, what is Jesus telling Nicodemus? He's telling them, I'm God. He is telling Nicodemus that I am God. We and our witness. This witness, this testimony, this precious gospel that is given out. We speak that we do know. We testify that we have seen. They know the plan of the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus. Jesus did not come into the world that there might be a gospel. He is the gospel. We need to treat this book as a person, because this is God's living word. Not just somebody that's out there. Have a personal, intimate relationship with the author of this book, the Lord Jesus. Trust Him. Know Him. Jesus did not come that there might be a Word of God. He is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. You receive not our witness. Some believe, but the majority of the masses of people did not. Same as today. And when He says ye there, does not mean specifically Nicodemus. It meant his family, the Jews. You haven't believed it. And see, the reason He is specifying and talking about those things most clearly is because the Jews is who God gave His word to. God gave the word to the Jews. Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldees. He came to a land that was promised him. At 100 years old, God miraculously gave him and Sarah a son named Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was the line that God chose to use, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. What a beautiful picture. Jacob had 12 sons. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the family. God chose to give that family His word. And He did it after leaving Egypt. He brought the people through Moses out of Egypt, brought them to Mount Sinai. He gave them the Ten Commandments. Everybody knows that on Mount Sinai you got the Ten Commandments. Few know that they received the plans to the tabernacle. Any time that God brings judgment, just like with Adam and Eve when He brought judgment upon them, He offered grace immediately. The coats of skins that He gave them, picturing salvation. Innocent sacrifice died. Blood was shed. It was God's plan. Nothing's changed. He brings the tabernacle. And that tabernacle is the most beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus that you can ever have. Why don't anybody ever talk about the tabernacle? They talk about the law, the Ten Commandments, but not the tabernacle. Because you see, the devil doesn't want you to know about grace. He just wants you about the law. And try to keep it. Keep trying to keep it. Nicodemus was trying to keep the law. He was trying to stay with the law. And so all these pictures that we've talked about with Abraham and with Isaac, the pictures of Jonah, the pictures of Adam and Eve, and multitudes of others, wonderful pictures of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Nicodemus missed. Nicodemus missed because they weren't preaching and teaching about the coming Messiah. Nicodemus wasn't looking for a Savior of his sin. Nicodemus was looking for a Savior to take away the bondage that they were under with Rome. They wanted a king. They didn't need a Savior. Is that what you want? You want somebody to take care of your problems here on earth? Or do you want a Savior? Because I can introduce you to that Savior today. The seed has been sown. You need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. It's that simple. Believe. Believe. You don't have to have money. You don't. All you need is belief, and He gives it to you. Here, I'll hand you faith. Will you take faith? And they reject it. They reject it. We would begin with the things of earth, because he says we speak of earthly things in verse 12. How will you understand when you don't understand earthly things? How will you understand heavenly things? And then he begins to go down through verse 13, 14, and 15. You're in darkness if you don't know Jesus. Don't waste your time trying to convince somebody of some doctrine that you differ. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit in their hearts will help them continue to grow and to learn. Won't happen otherwise. Tell them about Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and hear your word, and we just have spent now several weeks on John chapter 3. You must be born again. For a believer, it's just wonderful words, exciting words to hear, because we can remember back to the day we were saved and remember what that meant to us, and yes, the growing we've had, and then sometimes we walk away and then we come back, and your arms are always open for us as we return. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for your love and your saving power. Thank you for your love and the forgiveness you give us. Thank you for your strength, guidance, and wisdom that you give us, the peace, the joy that we can have each and every day. Thank you, Father. We think of this being Father's Day, but you are the one, Father, to be reverenced and praised and honored today and every day. Father, all those things cannot be had by those that do not know you as their Savior. You heard the word today. Today is the day of salvation. Please, dear Father, touch their hearts. And we just ask, it's choice, free choice, but we ask that they will come today. Please, please be saved. Father, speak to all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.